Live from the not-so-Martha-esque studios of Sirius Satellite Radio, it's Whatever with Alexis and Jennifer. Call 866-675-6675. And now, Alexis Stewart and Jennifer Hutt.
In studio, we have Susan Shapiro. She's the author of a new book called Secrets of a Fix-Up Fanatic. And this is about how to meet and marry your match, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And how did you know that Jennifer likes pink books? Anytime the book is pink.
I like all pink.
She buys it.
ESP.
Pink. Yeah. Good fit. Yeah, I love pink stuff. Uh-huh. Are you mocking my pink thing?
No, I wasn't mocking it, actually. I was remarking on the coincidence.
So, look at this. Lisa Loeb calls you a gifted fix-up fanatic. Did you fix her up?
I did on her TV show, Number One Single.
Oh, but did she end up getting married?
She didn't marry anyone, but she dated a few of the guys that I hooked her up with a few times.
Oh, well, that's
Who's
good.
Lisa Loeb?
You know that song, Stay? We'll play
singer.
It going into the break.
Oh, yeah. Singer.
With the pretty LA singer with weird glasses.
With the glasses.
The cool cat glasses.
Yeah. Mm. So, but this is not your first book by any stretch. You're a writer.
I've been a writer for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And this is like your hobby, fixing up?
Yeah, somebody told me I should write about my obsessions, a mentor. And so one of my obsessions for millions of years has been fixing people up. And I have 12 marriages that I fixed up with 18 kids. And I was fixed up with both my husband and his runner-up. So it's like this minor little sideline.
Whoa, stop. You're fixed up with your husband and his runner-up? What's a runner-up?
The guy she didn't marry.
Almost. My husband, when we were dating, after 6 years, he couldn't get married or move in together. So I said, forget it. And gave up on him and went to another older married matchmaker and said, help, is there somebody who can make a commitment in the world that you know? And she fixed me up with this other fantastic guy who I fell for.
Right.
And then the husband, the guy I wound up married, got so jealous that he jumped back
and won
me back with a ring really
fast. And that's
fast.
So mean to the one who took the second guy.
He was so fun and cool, and it was such a short time that he was, when I called him to tell him, he said, can I be your second husband? And then he got married right away.
He didn't really love you. He just wanted a female.
Is that what you think it was?
Yeah, or he wouldn't have gotten it over it that quickly. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gotten
it. Well, there's certain men that are marrying types, and he had married at 20. And his mother was like a founder of Ms. Magazine or something. And so I always felt like he really needed a, you know, like a real nurturing mom type person there.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it was better that it wasn't you.
Maybe, but we stayed very close friends. And actually a great thing happened, which was I helped give him a book party recently. And he brought his best friend, and his best friend met the love of his life. And so that might be my 13th couple because they've been dating
really
for a year.
Cool.
Yeah, so it had good karma to it.
So how do you approach a fix-up?
People approach me all the time, and if it's someone I know and care about, first I get together with them, and I ask a lot of, I've been in therapy a million years, and I just ask 20,000 intrusive, bizarre, horrible questions.
Yeah, like what?
Like, you know, what are you doing wrong, and how many people are you sleeping with now, and why, and, you know, what happened last time, and, you know, just 100 questions about where they are in their life. The first chapter is how to fix yourself up first, so if somebody tells me, I don't have a place to live that's decent. That's why I need to find somebody. You know, I like hand him a realtor's name. Or
right. So if you see like a beautiful girl with a job and I'm not really looking at you.
I didn't think you were. Yeah, no. You just laughed.
But if you see one of those girls, like a girl who seems to have it all together, but she can't meet a guy. And it's a constant. I mean, Alexis meets a lot of guys. It's slut. But you know that sort of. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like the girl who's like, I just can't meet a guy. Do you say like, well, clearly you must be really irritating if nobody wants you and you're cute? Like, do you?
Well, I have
to
a lot of different. I can do that, and also I have a lot of different tricks in the book that I suggest. One of the things I suggest is asking a matchmaker to call the people after you've been fixed up and see why they didn't call you back. I wrote a book called Five Men Who Broke My Heart, which I connected with my five worst heartbreaks of all time, and I asked them what really went wrong,
okay.
And they really told me.
What were the answers? I mean, aren't the answers often just that? I mean, aren't they non-answers? Like,
actually, what helped me was that I pinpointed the moment where I myself had screwed up each relationship, and I found that
you
to be very liberating.
You think you screwed them up? You don't think that people just aren't right for each other?
I think that there were specific things that I did that I could pinpoint that were really stupid. And
oh, like
after,
what?
Like, one of the things I say in Secrets of a Fix-Up Fanatic is love doesn't make you happy, make yourself happy. And I think that it took me a long time to figure that out. So, so when I was in high school and college and grad school, every time I would be in a relationship, I think I had this huge, ludicrous, unrealistic expectation that I just, you know, wanted so much from the guy, and I wasn't together enough myself, and so I think that in itself drowned half of the relationships.
Well, I think that's common when, especially with girls when they're younger, don't you think? That they think that that guy is going to be like their whole life, and one of the reasons I don't like dating someone that, say, isn't working is because they're waiting for you to come home every night, and I'm like, yo, I'm tired. Like, I don't want to have dinner and shtup right now because I'm just tired.
Well, exactly. I mean, I actually talk about that if somebody doesn't have a job or doesn't have a decent place to live or isn't together. I think that's huge. Some people seem ready. There's this whole new trend of women in their 20s getting married and having kids. And I think, for example, if having kids is your main goal, I have a girlfriend in Israel who has 6 kids, and she's so happy, and that's just, she just knew that was what she wanted to do in her 20s.
I knew when I met my husband that I wanted to marry him, and I knew that I wanted to have kids. And then when I had my kids was when I, you know, a few years into it, then I realized I needed to also get out of the house. It was kind of backwards. Like, I had the
kids. How old were you when you got married?
I got married at 27.
You know, it depends what your priorities are. If your priority, because I teach at NYU and Media Bistro, and if my 20-year-old students come to me and tell me that their goal in life is to have kids, then I'm like, go for it. Then you got to find a guy that's going to be a good husband and a father. Go for it and figure out the career thing later.
Right.
Because a lot of my friends, you know, like me, my friends, we get married at 35, 40, 45, and oops, I forgot to have a kid, and that is a problem.
Right.
Not that I would ever rush anybody into marriage, but if one of my young students or someone wants to be fixed up and that's a priority, I think it's smart to figure that out early.
I think it's really important that you have chapters in Secrets of a Fix-Up Fanatic about how a girl can sort of fix herself before she goes out and tries to meet guys.
And by the way, I have it for men, and I have it for gay friends. I think it's kind of universal. And I fixed up people from age 16 to age 91. So luckily, I think it's, even though it's a pink cover, I do think it's sort of universal. And some of the things that...
anybody ever get date raped?
No, and I actually mention ways to be very careful. And for example, like internet dating, I think is kind of scary. And it's part of the reason why I think being fixed up by somebody you know is much safer.
Yeah.
But I definitely say if you're going to be fixed up with someone, you know, meet in a public place and don't take them home at night and be careful.
What have you found about, because there was one blind date I went on when I was, I guess I was 24. And one blind date that I went on that I was really surprised when the guy didn't call. And I was really upset, and it like tormented me. Like, I didn't understand, because the whole date he was like, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to go here. And
that's
I want to take
guys
you there.
Are cretins.
I mean, he
and
made
you know what
like,
I'd like to do? I'd do it to them now.
Hold on, totally.
I'm so angry that they used to do that to me and to my friends that now I'm like, oh, you know, we'll go there sometime.
No, Alexis told me I was beautiful. You know, said everything that a girl would want to hear on a date.
He wanted to make the evening pleasant.
Well, but I have
a
great example.
With me and then never called.
But I have a, but
like,
again,
I can't wait to go here. I can't wait to go there. Let's do this.
But great reason why if you go, but you could go to your matchmaker and you could say, find out. And I have an example in that book because I had something similar. Well, I had something similar happen.
I don't think you want to know.
I don't really want to know because he didn't like me. But why did he have to pretend that he did?
Because that's his MO. Because it's much easier for him to go through the evening pretending he liked you. Makes the evening more pleasant. Yes, he's a prick.
And he's a doctor, which means he's a super prick.
Well, but let me just throw out, though, I had an example where that happened, where I thought I had a great time with someone, and I asked my friend White to find out why he didn't call me back. And I thought the guy was really good looking and skinny and, you know, like in shape. And I thought, well, I wasn't good looking enough. He wasn't attracted to me. And what my friend later told me was that he was physically attracted to me, thought I was pretty, but that I didn't shut up about my work for the whole time. And it gave him a headache, and he wasn't interested, and he couldn't believe that I was so obsessive about it. And I love learning that because it was completely true. And luckily, I'm more vain about my looks than I am about my big mouth and my personality, so it was easier to handle.
Right.
But it changed the way that I acted on dates a little bit, because what I realized was, for example, I had just had a piece in the New York Times Magazine, which I just thought was the coolest thing on earth, and I was rambling on and on about it, expecting someone I'd never met to what? He's supposed to be proud of my accomplishment.
He's
and
not
I didn't even
give a crap.
What, right, and I didn't even ask him about his career, and I came off completely self-involved, which I am, but luckily I married a self-involved writer who,
who understood
it and cares about if I'm in the New York Times Magazine.
Right.
But I found it illuminating by asking the matchmaker, because I had no idea. I had no idea that I come off this way.
Huh.
So sometimes, and if it does bother you, I mean, I was married, 5 minutes broke my heart, I was married when I contacted the men and asked them what, you know, I'm going through a midlife crisis. Would you mind talking about some things that happened just to help me clarify? And I was fascinated, and I found it very illuminating.
I don't even remember the guy's name. How about that? See? Not
good.
Bad. Don't remember.
Good.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that it bothers you still.
Ugh, annoyed me. It was the only one. I mean, there were plenty of dates I went on where the guy didn't like me. And of course, the ones where the guy did like me, I didn't like him.
You know, how did you meet your husband?
I met him in a class, and I set him up with one of my friends. I thought that she was his type. I didn't think that I was. And then he called her and then called me, and then I realized he liked me, and it was just all sappy and ridiculous and whatever. Now I drive him crazy, and it's good. Yeah. So, okay, stop vomiting, Alexis.
I'll try.
So, do you find that girls or guys, when they ask you to fix them up, do you think they really do know what they want, or do you think that they think they know what they want, but often it's not exactly?
It's a great question. One of the things I say is that there's a huge difference in the way that you ask someone to fix you up. So if you say, hey, would you hook me up with your cousin? She's cute. You know, that might get you laid, but it's not, nothing good's going to happen really out of that. But if you say,
look, well,
yeah, but that was actually my next question, which is, you know, what about people that don't want to, you know, get married? Do you deal with them, or you don't really deal with
them?
Oh,
sure. I have tons of friends that are happy single, and I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And I was single in New York for 15 years, and I actually tell a lot of people, don't get married for any other reason than you're completely 100 million trillion percent ready, and that's what you want. The people that come to me for some reason, maybe because I have a great husband and a great apartment, and we have parties, and I think maybe, like, you know, especially my young students, they come over and they see it and they sort of want to know how to do that, especially because a lot of the young students are, they all hook up, and they hook up in groups, but they don't seem to know how to date, or they don't seem to know how to get serious relationships, so they ask my advice. But I think the way that you ask is really important, and I have whole chapters on who you should ask to fix you up and how you ask them, and I think it's really important, because if you say to somebody, I really admire your relationship, and if you know anybody special or fabulous, I would be honored if you would introduce me. That's very different. And all of a sudden, you have to verbalize out loud what you want. And I'm right. looking for somebody special for a serious relationship or for marriage.
Yeah, because I used to have this awful friend, Jill, who was always like, do you know anybody I can go out with? Because I've got to get married.
I need
somebody rich.
Right. I need somebody who's rich, and I need somebody who's really handsome.
Is he single?
Right.
Right. And
is
by the
Jewish?
Way, the more specifics,
yeah.
the more the laundry list, the more I feel like you're not looking for a person, you're looking for a fantasy. And so when somebody comes to me
Absolutely.
And says, can I meet somebody special? Do you know anybody terrific? Do you
right.
know anyone fantastic that you think highly of? I want to fix them up. The minute somebody says to me, they have to be tall, they have to be this, they have to be thin, they have to be this, you
right,
know.
But there has to be, you know, we're going to talk more about the specifications after the break. But before we go to break, I just want to take this one call because it's our listener Michelle's birthday. Michelle?
Yes?
Hi, you've been on hold for so long. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
She's got nothing to do on her birthday.
She took her day off. She took a day off from
loser.
Work.
Loser.
Big loser.
What? Actually, my boss gave me the day off.
Wow.
Shut up.
Because
he knew you were going to get nothing done. And he didn't want to give you a present. So he's like, take the day off.
Actually, I did not want to announce it. I'm the type to keep it secret. I like to celebrate other people's birthday. I like to keep mine secret.
Aww.
But she
so, like so here she is like calling national radio so that everyone knows.
She found out because they put, from Human Resources, they brought me a card and put it on my desk. And
you left it there prominently. Michelle?
Yes?
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
We
happy
hope you
birthday.
Enjoy your day and have lots of cake.
Well, thank you. This is an excellent topic of conversation
about
good. Fixer-uppers.
Did you ever get fixed up? Was it ever good?
Oh, boy.
Is that a no?
That is a no.
Uh-huh.
I was fixed up by a good friend of mine. I'm a lesbian. She fixed me up with her cousin, showed me a picture of her, and she looked cute on the picture. Went over to her apartment, but what she didn't tell me was that half of her face was burned off.
Well, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
It's
and why would she not
thing.
Tell?
Why, yeah.
It's because she was in a car accident. The other people were killed. And I, aside from her face being half of her face being burned off, she had some psychological problems. And the
which you should, they should have
told you. You can't surprise someone with that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
They can't surprise you with something like that. That's just cruel to everyone.
Agreed.
I know. I mean, the whole while I was there at her house, I mean, my mouth was just open. And when
did
I
you say to her, I didn't know that something had happened to you? No.
No.
She ignored the pink elephant. Do you need water?
No, here's
can
the thing.
Can we get water, please, for Susan?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If I see someone with a malfunction,
yeah.
I just don't talk about it. If they want to say something about it, I let them say something, but I don't ask because they've probably been asked dozens of questions about it.
Yeah, but they're used to it, and if you don't ask them, they think it's weird.
Right.
Okay. But no, I didn't ask. She told me she was in a car accident, which I already knew. You know, Paula told me, her cousin. But the whole while I was there, my mouth was open. And then her cousin called, and she asked me, she said, on a scale of A to F, how is her personality? And I said, well, it's a B. And she said, she asked, how are her looks? And then I just couldn't say.
All right. Well, happy birthday, and thank you for calling and depressing us.
Aww.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So Susan Shapiro is here. She's the author of Secrets of a Fix-Up Fanatic. Do you have a website?
I do. SusanShapiro.net.
Okay. So SusanShapiro.net is her website, and we'll be back to take your calls with her about being fixed up, if you want to fix someone up, or if you have a question about being fixed up or anything of that nature, 866-675-6675.
Dating is a game that grown-ups play. Dating means acting in a silly way.
Whatever.
Whatever's on your mind. Call us at 866-675-6675.
Whatever.
Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius 112.
Today's word of the day is optimism. If you're feeling better about things these days, you're not alone. Turning over a new year has a way of feeling like we're turning over a new leaf, even if that's not its intent. Indeed, things are looking up, which has us looking up even more words these days. Today we shine a light on optimism, that feeling of positive energy in which we put the best possible spin on a situation. The idea of optimism is as old as dirt, but using the word optimism to succinctly summarize this notion is relatively new. The concept of optimism would seem simple enough that someone else could have conceived it thousands of years ago. Even more interesting is that the person who gets the credit is a mathematician, namely Gottfried Wilhelm von Leibniz. Leibniz is remembered for a few things. He developed devices that would eventually spawn the calculator. He emphasized a kind of philosophical approach to physics. Among his later works is the book Theodicy, in which he credits God with providing, quote, the best of all possible worlds. Following many years in which science was shunned, Leibniz's idea was new. So was the word he used to describe the world, optimism. But it was the French writer Voltaire who spread the word optimism, while at the same time poking fun at the concept. In Voltaire's signature work, Candide, he satirized Leibniz's ideas by having one of his characters live them. Candide, as one of the central works during the Age of Enlightenment, was widely read. As a result, so was the word optimism. In the late 19th century, optimism gave birth to optimum, originally a biological term for the best condition in which an organism can reproduce. As we settle into the new year, let's remember this is an optimal time to rejuvenate that glasses-half-full spirit. Here at the Word of the Day, everything's coming up roses. I'm Mark Bayless for Martha Stewart Living Radio.
It's your turn to call Alexis and Jennifer. You can go on the air now by calling 866-675-6675. That's 866-675-6675.
It is all fun and games with Pierce Skull Paul until we actually have something that he needs to do.
Yeah, we found his chore.
Yeah, we found his chore.
To accompany me to a party, and he won't do it.
Right. So we have Susan Shapiro's here, and she is the author of Secrets of a Fix-Up Fanatic. She has matched 12 couples. They've gotten married.
Maybe 13.
And we were just talking to her, and she's like, you know, I have these parties, and I'm like, really? Could we go to your party and then make fun of it on the show the next day? And because, you know, we will.
That's our thing.
Even if we try not to.
If anybody wants to come, I'm having a great book party on the 13th of February, a Valentine's Day soiree, a fix-up soiree. And the cost of admission is one single guy friend that you want to fix up.
Which is great. So we're like, okay, she's having this part. And so Alexis is like, okay, but maybe I don't know if I have any single guys to bring. And then she looks up and she's like, OMG, Pierce and all Paul. Paul, guess what? We're going to a party. And Pierce and all Paul says, no.
No way.
That's where I can't know. No. He'll go to Sephora.
I draw the line there.
Yeah, he'll go to Sephora and
I'll buy you tampons.
Makeup,
but no
tampons, diaphragms, dildos. But go to a party as a single guy.
He'll have his scrotum pierced by a man or a woman.
Yeah.
By a woman, but he won't go to a party.
A female can pierce his scrotum, but he can't go to a party.
It's going to be a very cool party. Very beautiful. I have very beautiful young students. It's at our bar downtown.
Yum.
Media Bistro is putting it on for me. They have gorgeous,
young
beautiful
people,
students.
Pierce it all, Paul.
Very friendly, warm. And by the way, my attitude, too, is when I do this, I really just say make friends. It's very casual. I don't try to shove anybody into a date or, you know, anything formal. It's very casual. And I just introduce people and, you know, invite them to fun events. So,
Emily, do you want to say something?
What?
I mean, I find that really kind of interesting that you said there's going to be a lot of young girls there, and no one in this room is very young.
Okay, speak for yourself, all right?
Yeah.
Well, by the way, I have a very interesting age range of people that come to my events, and I looked at you, and you look young. Are you in your
20s? I'm 25.
Yeah, you look 25, so I feel like
intuitive.
They're like a lot of my students from NYU Media Bistro. I mean, you look at me, and he might worry that think all my friends are at 45, and that's all it's going to be, and I have many beautiful young students. In fact, a lot of the interns are helping me with the event.
Oh, interesting.
So I just looked at you and thought, you know, a lot of these people your age, you would like it.
He will.
Certainly, if you guys came and said to me, you know, I have, and by the way, like I said, I have a lot of gay friends coming. I have a lot of lesbian friends coming. I have
there's
going to be like 300 people there. So if somebody tells me, and there's also people who say to me, I want to meet an agent, I want to meet a book editor. So if people let me know, I love schmoozing and I love, you know, again, a couple hundred people are going to be at this event. And part of the reason why I'm a good fix-up fanatic is because, you know, I can intuitively sense what, you know, what kind of group somebody
would. She's got a lot of energy. My God, I'm exhausted. Troy?
Yeah.
You're on with Alexis and Jennifer and Susan Shapiro, who's very, very fast.
All right, yeah. My Vietnam vet brother-in-law has hooked up with a Vietnamese girl a few years ago, and I saw him at...
Via mail or via
mail-order bride?
Or in a person?
They're like husband and wife. Yeah. No,
she wanted to know how they met.
Oh, how they met? Oh,
yes.
He went back. He went back and visited Vietnam a few years ago, and came back with her. I mean, he just went over there to revisit it, you know. And I don't think he had any intention of coming back with
bride. Okay.
Had any intention of getting together with anyone, but she can't speak a lick of English, and they are the happiest couple I've ever seen.
See.
Isn't verbal communication overrated in relationships?
Wow.
It depends, not for writers.
I guess it depends on what you want. She wanted you know, a full bowl of rice, and he wanted...
I know what you mean. You mean financially stable.
Yes.
She needed the ability to have at all times that full bowl of rice, which could be a steak. I understand.
Right. I'm just saying.
She wasn't being racially motivated.
No,
at that
not
moment.
At all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
If
you think I'm being mean to somebody, it ain't the girl.
That's right. It's him. Okay. So we've got Susan Shapiro, who's a fix-up fanatic. She's had 12 successful fix-up that have, I want to say, ended in marriage, but they're not ended. They're continuing on in marriage and potentially a 13.
Slash death.
Lynn in Baltimore.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Well, I was just calling because actually I met my husband through a kind of a fix-up through a friend, and we've been married for 10 years. So,
did you know right away?
I did. I don't think you did.
How long were you dating before you got married?
We dated 3.5 years.
Oh, good.
I mean, we were engaged for a little over a year. But it was timing. It was really, if we talk about it, that if we had met each other, you know, even a couple of years earlier, it just wouldn't have happened. I had been in a relationship. He had been in a relationship. It just wasn't, you know, the timing wasn't there. But it just was. And a friend, you know, knew that, I don't know, we might hit it off. And
that's really neat.
And she was one of our bridesmaids, of course. So, you know, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Thanks for calling. I have a question. Do you think there's a time, amount of time it should take to know if a fix-up is right?
I think that's a great question, and actually the way that she said it, where it might not have been instant chemistry at the beginning, I kind of don't believe in instant chemistry, and I feel like everybody's instant gratification, and I kind of try to get people to slow down. And one of the things
you
I say...
You direct it that way.
Yeah, one of the things I say in my book, which is my husband hates, is I really fell madly in love with him on our 5th wedding anniversary. And I feel like I felt like he was a good person, and maybe I loved things about him, but I wasn't 100% sure. And it took so long. And I always say to people, try to give it more time. I mean, I get really worried or upset if anybody's engaged before a year.
I was engaged before a year.
From when you met until when you married, how long was it?
A year and a half.
Okay, that's a better time frame. I really meet people right. And I fix them up
we'll be married 2 months later. We're together 11 years now. And we'll be married.
Right, but at least a year and a half from when you met until you married,
yes.
That seems healthy.
Yes.
I meet people within 3 months and they're okay, this is it. And I'm like, you know what, move in together, slow down,
right.
At least let it be a year. So
why do you think do as many men want to be fixed up as women?
Yes, but for different things. Like men say to me, you know, I want to meet a girlfriend, I want somebody cute, I want somebody sexy. I think more women say I want to get married.
Okay.
And actually, interestingly, probably more lesbians than gays want to be hooked up, which is interesting too. So I wonder if it's a female like that.
They want the relationship, the long term.
Well, there's the U-Haul joke,
right?
So,
right, that's that, right? Isn't that the
after one date
the U-Haul shows up?
Yeah, you drive.
Right, but part of the reason I think it's great to have a matchmaker is that if you go out with someone and you think that they're not perfect or they're not your type or there's not instant chemistry, hopefully a smart matchmaker will say to you, "This is a really good person. Try again."
Right.
And with my matchmaker, who was 10 years older than me, and married after my first date. With my husband, I said, he's really nice, he's not my type. And she said, your type is neurotic, self-destructive, and not the least bit interested in you. Go out with him again. And I thank God every day she did, because I really...
Right.
I'll
say that to you, Alexis. I'll be like, maybe, you know, give someone else... Not now. I know you're very happy and you're going to marry him and whatever else. No, you know what I'm saying. I know you're happy right now, but...
No, but you have
theory.
Most of the people that I've dated since I've known you have not... They have not been...
They've been wrong for you.
Yes, but not in the ways that were just mentioned.
No, but wrong for you. I think the point is that they've been wrong for you. That the wrong for you.
Jennifer didn't like them.
No.
How did you meet the person you're seeing now?
Oh, hold on, Keithy. Can you put Keithy back on hold? Go ahead, Alexis, then I'll put Keith back on.
Jennifer and I did a little, what did we do? A little segment for my mother's television show.
Yeah, we taped a piece.
And I thought he had a cute butt.
A fortune cookie factory. And
so I asked him out.
And she, yeah.
I got his email address.
Then we went to California so she could hang out with him, and they didn't hang out. And then
I got mad.
Yeah, and then they had sex. Okay, so now I'm going to put Keithy on the show. Hey, Keithy, it's my husband.
Hey.
Hi, honey.
What's actually Alexis's ratio? When do you consider a date versus sex?
What's the difference?
Exactly. By the way, I want to know, Susan, what's your stance on setting up married men?
with shrinks?
For sex or another marriage?
If they ask, I give them the name of a really good shrink.
Oh, Keithy. What, honey?
Couples therapist.
Honey, did you hear you were on the show earlier today?
I was?
Uh-huh. From when we got the suit, the purple suit.
God, how's the onion breath?
Oh, it's good.
It's really
good. What's the stance on onion breath on a date? Do you recommend that?
Actually, I talk about things like that, and I say it's right. Why you need to fix up somebody who will fix you up will tell you the truth. And I have definitely said to people,
bad breath.
Bad breath.
Bad body odor.
Or dress different or fix your hair or why don't you shave or get rid of the baseball cap on your head.
That's
or
good.
Yeah.
How about like a wife beater with tomato sauce?
Honey, goodbye. Kathy, I love you. Goodbye.
But see, on the other hand, I might think, see, this is really pathetic.
Oh, boy.
If I was a guy.
Yeah, well, you are a guy.
And the girl I went out with had the balls to have the onion tomato salad, I'd be really impressed.
I think everybody's different. You know, everybody's different. And men come
what?
To me and say,
you know what? If I go on a date and the guy just eats a clove of garlic or raw onions, it's abort mission. It's not.
I think it's different. I think the guy needs to be more careful because they stink already.
But you can hand him an Altoid. That gets rid of the problem.
No, it doesn't gum. Altoids do not
okay,
work.
Okay, gum.
Just so you know.
Altoids
no,
don't work. This is true.
This is, you
mouthwash.
Need sugar-free gum. Sugar-free is the
gum
only, only thing that works. It's besides brushing your tongue.
That's right,
with
because all the other things, the sugar makes it worse in your mouth and makes the bacteria and the stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think I talk about communication and how important it is, so I think it'd be really interesting and fun if you went out with someone and said, you know what? You need gum. Here's a piece of gum.
I would do that, and so would you.
I would.
No,
I would
I
do that in a minute.
But I would.
I wouldn't.
I would.
I would.
I wouldn't. I would. I would be too. I couldn't. Do
I would
it.
Be like, oh, you're
and actually, what, the chapter at the end is
help.
All about how you could change anything you want about somebody. Like people have this illusion that who you're meeting on a first date is who you're going to wind up with. That's not true. And my husband and I have completely changed each other. And I think you could say to somebody if you say it in a funny and nice
you're
way.
How long?
We're married 10 years. Been together 16
oh.
years.
Oh, a long time.
Yeah, and I think that we've changed every single thing about each other. And I think that's totally allowed, especially if you do it in a nice. Way and you're willing to negotiate
sure,
other things about
sure.
yourself.
Well, okay. I went on a yeah. fix-up date, remember? Relatively
what
recently.
What, no.
How was it?
It was, oh, it was oh. not great, and I told the guy, I was like, oh, well, he's never, A, this was a drag. It was just drinks, and there was no connection whatsoever. And I actually felt like he really was angry with me. And so he called me a couple days later, and maybe he texted me and he said, what, you know, do you want to go out? Like, I had a really nice time or something. And I'm like, okay, thanks. And then he texted me again, like a couple days after that and said something about going out again. And I said, you know, I really felt like you hated me and I have no interest in going out with you again because the vibe was so bad. And he's like, oh my God, I guess that's just my nervous nature or something. But I couldn't.
You couldn't get over that.
Yeah, I couldn't get over that. It was too much.
So we're going to take a break, and then we have a whole bunch of people who want to talk to you. So we'll come back with the call. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. And you might hear silence. 866-675-6675.
And what a relief that will be.
Exactly. It's Whatever with Alexis and Jennifer. Check out our website, whateverradio.com, and check out Susan Shapiro's website, which is susanshapiro.net. Stay tuned.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch. Matchmaker, matchmaker, look through your book and make me a perfect match.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, I'll bring the veil. You bring the broom, slender and pale. Bring me your ring, for I'm longing to be the envy of all I see.
Dial now. 866-675-6675. It's Whatever with Alexis and Jennifer on Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius 112.
Hi, I'm Ghosty from Sirius Disorder.
Sirius.
Are you new to Sirius? Were you lucky enough to find us under the tree over the holidays? Welcome. There's so many great shows to try, like Jim Brewer Unleashed and The Wise Guys on Raw Dog, Comedy Uncensored. Jay Thomas on Sirius Stars, and of course, Howard, Bubba, and the rest of the cast on Howard 100 and 101. And you can find me, Ghosty, every weekday morning from 6 a.m. Eastern to noon Eastern on Sirius Disorder, Sirius 24.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-881-4248. That's 1-800-881-4248. 1-800-881-4248.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that different. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-335-7600. That's 1-800-335-7600. Or go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
You may be sitting there right now, wondering how you're going to make it through the day. Do you worry yourself sick, beat yourself up, or put yourself down? This isn't the real you. You used to be happy and have confidence and dreams, remember? Well, it's time to get it back. You owe it to yourself to pick up the phone and call for a powerful free tape that can help you get your life back. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me help you help yourself. Call 1-800-446-1938. That's 1-800-446-1938. 1-800-446-1938.
I'm Lydia Bastianich, and this is Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius 112, where you can learn something new every day.
It's your turn to call Alexis and Jennifer. You can go on the air now by calling 866-675-6675. That's 866-675-6675.
So Susan Shapiro's here. She's the author of Secrets of a Fix-Up Fanatic, How to Meet and Marry Your Match. You can check out her website, which is SusanShapiro.net, for information about her and the book, and buy the book on Amazon.com. And Liz?
Yes, hi.
Hi. You're on the air.
Oh, well, I got fixed up with somebody. This was a while ago. We're talking about 20 years ago, who at a party, I wish he had eaten the clove of garlic or the onions. He picked a bug up off the rug and ate it to try and impress me.
That is so disgusting.
That is so, wow. What kind of a cockroach? Or just,
I don't know what it was. I didn't look
so wrong.
But there's no
matter. Did you say, honey, now I want to stick my tongue down your throat?
Oh, yeah, right. Gross,
Alexis. Let's go French kiss. Let's make out. You know, come on. Yeah.
That's really disgusting. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, boy, your gum that's going to fix that.
No. That's gross. Thanks. Hey, Lucy.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, ladies.
Hi, Lucy.
I have fixed up two of my best friends. Well, I didn't fix them up thinking they'd marry these creeps, but they
Yeah?
Yeah, so...
So their creep fixed them up with creeps?
Why would you do that?
They're not terrible people. They just don't need to be married to my good friends.
Then why did you fix them up in the first place?
Are you jealous?
I think she's jealous.
God, no. I'm so not jealous.
She's so not
you just
jealous.
Don't want to hang out with these guys for the rest of your life when you're hanging out?
When you're a friend, you hear all the shit, so...
Uh-huh.
You hear all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you've heard all the bad stuff and you're like, get over it and dump them and they're getting married instead?
Oh, yeah. Married. Married with kids.
And you're still freaked out about it?
Well, yeah, because
that was her fault.
I continue to hear the bad stuff.
Oh.
My fault. I didn't tell him to get married. I said, hey, here's this guy.
Yeah, no, you know what? You shouldn't have. You don't set your friend up if you don't think the guy is good enough for potential.
Well, all right.
No, she thought he was a creep. She thought it would be like a fling.
They weren't creepy when I introduced them.
Ooh. They turned creepy.
They became.
Ooh.
Learned the part of them that, you know...
What are they, cheating? What are they doing that's so bad?
One of them just talks to his wife like she's... he talks down to her.
Like she works for him?
No, she's just, they're just, he's awful to her. And then the other one.
But she allows that.
I think he's gay.
And you didn't think so when you set them up?
No.
Not at all. Tell the truth.
No.
Well, here's a good rule, which is after you set people up, you introduce them, you can't control them. So right. In a lot of ways, you kind of just have to let go and let them
let
decide.
Let go of the odd, yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Lucy. Thanks for calling. Okay, who's this one? Hello, Marissa.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Say hi to Susan Shapiro.
Hello, Susan Shapiro.
Hi there.
I was fixed up, and I'm getting married in October, and we've been dating, it will be 6 years in February.
Congratulations.
Very nice, Marissa.
Who fixed you up?
Here's the thing, though. If you're dating for that long, I think it's weird that you're getting married.
Well, we were really young when we started dating. I was 18 and he was 19.
Oh, so it's good they waited.
Yeah, I give it like 6 months. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Who fixed you up?
My best friend's little sister, actually.
Really?
Best
friend's little sister.
Hmm. With one of her friends? So is the guy younger?
No, she was dating his cousin.
Uh-huh.
And he was in the military and he had just gotten back. And they were like, oh, you should meet. And I was like, I don't know. But it was cute. And so we went on a couple of dates and now we're getting married.
6 years later. Very nice. Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling.
Congratulations.
Have a good night. Thank you.
Bye. So what do people tell you is the most important thing about someone else when you're about to fix them up?
Everyone's Shoes. Always obsessed with looks. Shoes. And as I said, a woman friend of mine from Michigan won't go out with a guy if she doesn't like his shoes. And I screamed in her face and said, you can buy him new shoes, but you can't get him a new heart.
But I think the reason why a girl would say she doesn't want to go out with a guy if she hates his shoes,
it's an indication of their personality.
Right, that maybe he lacks style, which doesn't mean style
doesn't
just
have
about
to be
clothing. I mean, just style.
Right, but one of the things I talk about in the book is how you can get over some of your superficial, trivial obsessions, especially if, you know, I get people who are 40 or 50 or 60 and who've never been married and who've been doing the same thing for 30 years that doesn't work for 30 years. And sometimes, you know, trying something new or trusting somebody else's judgment or listening to someone who says, this is a really great person and you can buy him other clothes if you want, but he's kind and he's smart and he's good and you're lonely.
Right.
And you're complaining about every good looking person you've ever gone out with has turned out to be a loser. So why don't you let yourself be open in a different way?
Right.
Do you think that's a rule, that the good-looking people are more loserish than the others?
I think that there's a certain type that doesn't ever have to develop anything else. You know, if you're handsome and rich and you know, things come at you very easily, I think that doesn't necessarily lend itself to
having the greatest depth of character.
Right. Or having to, you know, develop other things.
Right.
In fact, I would actually say that, I would say that my friends that are better looking, richer, more sophisticated, great bodies, they tend to be single. It's much harder for them to meet people, I think, because there's all these expectations and...
Oh, people have expectations of them?
Expectations of them, and then they want somebody as good looking, as rich, as famous as they are, and I think it makes it harder, whereas somebody that's a little more average... just easier to
Yeah, you know, my mother is always going out with rich guys, and I'm just like, what? You're making such a big mistake, because,
Right, and she doesn't need to, like, she doesn't need it,
so why is that the only place to look? I think that's an error.
And how do you handle that when someone says, I want to meet a guy, but he's got to be rich? I'm sure that's happened.
It is, and again, one of the beautiful things about a matchmaker is that a lot of times they'll tell you the truth, and I'll say, you know what, why don't you get a job? You're really superficial. It's a really stupid reason to go out with someone, and half of the time you're going to be with somebody rich who's going to wind up, you know, losing the money anyway, or you're going to wind up being their slave, because if you're not making any money and they are, it's a lopsided relationship. Once in a while, I think it makes sense. For example, if a woman says that, you know, she really wants to have a lot of kids in life, and that really is her... That's what she thinks her main thing is. Then I understand wanting someone who can support a family.
Right.
So, but I really like to sit and talk to someone and find out what their story is and why they want, you know, the thing that they want.
Very interesting. All right. Well, our thanks to Susan Shapiro. She is the author of Secrets of a Fix-Up Fanatic, How to Meet and Marry Your Match. You can link to our Amazon to buy the book from our website later tonight, and go to Amazon.com now and buy it, and check out her website, which is SusanShapiro.net. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Paul and I are going to have to go on a date.
Oh my God, you and Pearson mm-hmm. Paul are going on a date to Susan's party. I'm going to have to come.
You have to come.
I got to find a single person to bring.
I know.
Oh, my husband,
bunch.
Keith.
We'll be soon back. To be single, exactly. Pleats and all. I don't know where she comes from. She just wouldn't say. But we're going down to the graveyard at the finish of the day. She dresses up in black and wears a red rose in her hair. I know she is a demon, but somehow.
Whatever way you like it.
Why don't you tell the people the truth for a change?
You're with Alexis and Jennifer, and this is Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius 112.